Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We come to you in the middle of April. It's April 16th today, and there's ice pellets and a little bit of snow and flurries on the drive earlier today. So that tells you that we're in an odd time of year as far as the seasons go. We've talked some about spring sports and the delay in getting baseball and softball well into their seasons and other spring sports too. And I think today kind of summarizes that from a weather perspective. But glad to be with you. Hope you're staying warm. Hope that some spring weather is here to stay. We've had a couple teases of a day over the last week or so, but hope it will be here to stay maybe later this week. We'll see. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen today or over the next couple days. So glad you're with us. Welcome in. It's a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report. We are 2 Mondays away from Romeo Langford's decision on where he will attend college. Monday, April 30th, 7 o'clock at New Albany High School. So we have 2 weeks to debate and wonder and talk and hear from guests on their thoughts about where Romeo Langford's going to go. I think I don't know if Indiana fans can make it 2 weeks, to be quite honest with you. I know everyone is glad that there is a decision date set, that it's no longer hanging up in the air, but still a couple weeks off. You know, it's a lot of time away to debate this thing and for Indiana fans to wonder and wait in anticipation, although I will say that the mood of Indiana fans, I think, with him making the visit at New Albany in front of the public does have a lot of IU fans very hopeful that the decision will be Archie Miller and the Indiana Hoosiers. But we'll see. Still's time to talk about it and try to figure it out before it all happens coming up here later this month in April. Let's look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany, joining us Monday on the program. After we get through some headlines and business here in segment number one, we will be joined by Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Zach will check in on IU basketball, some things happening in the offseason. I'm sure we'll get into Romeo Langford as well. I want to spend a minute, and I'm going to talk about this here in the headlines as well, but I want to spend a minute with Zach talking about Victor Oladipo. What a performance he's had really all season long, but what a performance yesterday as the Pacers go on the road. They steal game one from LeBron and the Cavs. Victor Oladipo playing like one of the best players in the NBA. And you can just tell that him in Indiana, again, playing out of Indianapolis, makes a lot of sense based on his attitude and how happy he is. And really, it's a perfect match. And you don't see that often at the professional level. And I really don't pay a whole bunch of attention to NBA basketball until it starts to get this point of the season when college is over with, high school stuff is long in the books. And playoff basketball seems to be the time where you can get the most competitive games and where the players actually seem to play somewhat hard for a great portion of the game instead of waiting till the fourth quarter or even less than that time at times to really get it out there and get it going. But we'll talk some NBA here over the next couple weeks, but we're going to talk a little bit with Zach about Victor Oladipo, the niche that he's found for the Pacers. And obviously, he's had some great performances this year for Indiana. There's no question about that. But we'll talk some about all those topics and more with Zach Osterman when he joins us. Also later today, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA board member. He will check in with us as well for his Monday chat here on the Hoosier Report. The guest lineup is a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look had some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Romeo did not play in the game Friday night. That was the USA, the Nike Hoop Summit, which pits a USA team organized by USA Basketball against the team of players with connections to international and world countries called the World Team. And the World Team actually beat the USA team 89-76, which I know was kind of a disappointment. This team is, this class, I should say, the 2018 class has had a lot of talent, a lot of guys projected out of there to have an opportunity to play in the NBA, maybe a good handful of one and dones potentially in the 2018 class, and they go and get beat by a group of guys that, again, some very, very good players on the other team. But I think a lot of it boils down, and I heard the announcers talking some about this during the game, but a lot of it boils down to playing hard. One of the reasons I told you that I wish that Romeo was healthy to play in the game, and one of the reasons that I had hoped to make it to the game, obviously I didn't, but was because it's not really your traditional all-star game. You've got the McDonald's game and the Jordan game, but this means something. USA Basketball picks the USA team. Some of these guys have been involved with USA Basketball before, like Romeo going over to Egypt, and obviously for these guys, if they're going to continue to be players and make it to the NBA, they're going to want to be close with USA Basketball for other opportunities as well. You know, Olympic teams and the opportunity to play on a world stage and win a gold medal will be a real possibility for some of these guys in the future. But you would think when they have the opportunity not just to play against each other and they're all buddies and they all know each other, but you think when they have the chance to play against a team that was assembled to show who's better in this age group, the world or the players from the United States of America, you would think there'd be a little extra pride. And at times, it just did not seem like that the USA team really was working hard, was really playing as a unit, despite the fact that practices all week are not just individual skill type stuff, but team practices, putting in offenses, talking about how you're going to play defense and those sort of things. So that was disappointing because, I thought this class, I can't claim to follow the best of the best each year in high school basketball. I'm sure that a lot of you couldn't even tell me or tell anyone who the top player was the last couple of years and the final rankings that came out. But we've all followed it more closely this year because of Romeo Langford and because of following his path up the national rankings, the player rankings out there. And you just become more familiar with some of these guys. And so thought it was a talented group. And obviously R.J. Barrett, I think he was on the Canadian team. So there's one really good player in the 2018 class that had played with these guys the last couple weeks that obviously was going against them. I think he had 20 points. And one other note, there were some underclassmen in the game, just a handful, but one of them is Charles Bassey. He's from Nigeria originally, but and I didn't mention this last week, I saw his name pop up on the roster, but he actually attends high school or prep school just across the river in Louisville. I don't know where he initially was from in the United States since he's been here from Nigeria, but he had 16 rebounds and 13 points in the game. He will be a senior next year in high school in prep ball. He plays at Aspire Academy, the new prep school over in Louisville. The kids attend DeSales High School, or at least they did this past season, and I think he's expected to return there for his senior year as well. He's one of the top players in the junior class right now, the 2019 class on a national level. One other note from out in Portland that I thought was interesting, they do a lot of things to prepare these guys for the next level, the workouts and the opportunity to practice and work out in front of scouts. And some of the all-star games even have life skill type classes, how to manage your money and just different things that are applicable or could be applicable to a lot of these high-level players that participate in some of these games. But they also do a lot of measurements and those sort of things. And I did think it was interesting that Romeo's official measurements, even though he didn't participate in the game, you always hear, well, is he really what he's listed at in the program? Or, I wonder what his wingspan is. So I'm going to give you some things that I thought were really interesting from the official USA Basketball measurements taken of Romeo out in Portland, Oregon. His height is 6'6.5". That's with shoes. 6'5" without shoes was the official measurement listed for Romeo Langford. His weight, 202 pounds, 6'11" is his wingspan. 6'11" wingspan, and his standing reach, 8'8". So pretty impressive measurements, I would sure think, for Romeo Langford. Those taken out at the Hoop Summit game. One other note, I mentioned Victor Oladipo. Let's go through his stat line yesterday as the Indiana Pacers won. They were up 20 for a great portion of the game. I think they ended up winning 18. Yeah, it was 98-80, the final score, as they knock off the Cavaliers on the road yesterday. Victor Oladipo, 32 points as the game-high score, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals. He's playing great basketball, and obviously Indiana to go on the road and get a win is huge at Cleveland in Game 1. This Indiana team legitimately may have a chance to beat LeBron. He's had a lot of success in the playoffs, especially cruising into the second round pretty easily most years. But this Indiana Pacers team led by Victor Oladipo may very well give LeBron and the Cavs all they want. I'm not saying Pacers are going to win it. Obviously, winning the first game is huge. But for that type of performance from Oladipo and to get a win on the road at Cleveland is a big start to this series for Indiana. We're going to talk more about Oladipo today, and I am going to do a better job following the Pacers in their playoff run, we hope, over the next couple weeks a little closer. So stay tuned for some more Pacers talk coming up as well. One other headline, a lot of people leaving the Big Ten. It's not just because of guys that have declared for the NBA draft. It's a lot of transfers, a lot of just strange things I think have happened this year. Illinois is really puzzling. They have lost a ton of guys, and maybe for someone that follows Illinois men's basketball a little closer than what I do, maybe some of the departures have been welcome. I don't know. But under a new coach there, I know that he did a great job at other stops, and maybe he's just trying to clean house and bring in more of his guys. But one player that I don't think Illinois wanted to lose was Mark Smith. He was a former Mr. Basketball winner in the state of Illinois. He's going to transfer to Missouri. So he's going to the SEC in Missouri, just to the west of Illinois. That's a little surprising. He was a great baseball player. If you remember, Indiana got on him late in basketball. He didn't have a ton of high major offers, but all of a sudden, boom, he got 3, 4, 5 right in a couple weeks in the spring. It was kind of a late development last year in the 2017 class, and Smith actually was in Louisville for the Derby Classic game right around the time that all of his recruiting interest was blowing up. So that was April. That was about this time, maybe a week or two ago. That tells you how late it was when his opportunities at Division I basketball really increased. But he's leaving Illinois, as have a list of other players for various reasons that are leaving the program, and Mark Smith will transfer to Missouri. That's a look at the Hoosier headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune Reader's Choice Awards. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. Also, don't forget the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards are hot off the presses. This year's card features Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these great courses for under $20 a round with the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. Some of these courses are private, and you can only play if you're a member or with the Big X Sports Radio golf card. There's a limited supply, so get yours today at BigXSportsRadio.com, or you can call 812-725-1457. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll return to chat IU basketball and more with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Is Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star joins us Mondays. Today we'll talk a little Victor Oladipo, his start to the NBA playoffs, helping the Pacers to a big win with 32 points. Maybe a little Romeo Langford as well. Hard to not bring that one up each week with Zach. Also IU baseball, spring football game this weekend, so a lot of things to cover in this segment. Zach, let's start with Oladipo. What a season. What sense Indiana makes for him as a home. You can tell that he's loving this. He's playing great basketball, and he's doing it in front of a fan base that absolutely adores him.
Yeah, I mean, I think, and I don't know if you got a chance to read what he wrote for the Players Tribune. I think it was just published this morning, but basically just sort of talking about how the last, 12, 13 months have just kind of been tough on him in some ways because he got traded, and then he got traded again, but that there was always sort of this, that he almost had this sense of coming home once everything settled, and what it would mean to him to come back to Indiana, obviously with the experience he had at IU. And, from a stats-based perspective or whatever, I forget who I was talking to about this yesterday, a friend of mine. We were watching the end of the Pacers-Cavs game at a party. And, it's just, he's always been a good player. I mean, he's never averaged less than 13.8 points per game in the league. That was in his first season. He's averaged more than 4 assists a game in 3 of his 5 seasons, I think. But you never really thought that Oladipo was the kind of player that could carry a team, that he could be, kind of a leading star for a team, that he could be the centerpiece, if you will. But he is that this year, and he is, I think it's natural for him, certainly in his personality. I think it's in the Players Tribune article, I felt like kind of got to this a little bit as well. I think it's a really natural fit for him because it's Indiana. If it was Atlanta or Charlotte or Portland, I don't know if it's maybe quite the same for him, but I think because he's always felt the sort of support and the comfort, even coming back to Indianapolis when he was playing for Orlando and Oklahoma City, I think that was part of it too. And it's been remarkable to watch what the Pacers have done this season, because everybody kind of thought, and not kind of thought, everybody thought they were, when they traded Paul George, that they were just shedding pieces to try and go for a draft pick. And all of a sudden, here they are in the playoffs and kind of in the catbird seat against Cleveland.
And can this Pacers team, I mean, I know it's one game in, but it is a road game that they stole from Cleveland yesterday. Can they be the one that knock off LeBron and the Cavs in the first round?
What was this? It was like something like 24 straight first round wins for LeBron broke up yesterday, something yeah. like that. I mean, I know the Cavs have issues this year, and you kind of feel like that project has just been trying to stretch itself as far as possible, at least through the end of this season. It's still hard for me to totally bet against LeBron. Now, I'd like to see what maybe they do the next two games. If the Pacers can either win game two or grab the first one back in Indianapolis and maybe really get the city into – not that the city isn't already engaged with this playoff run, obviously, but really get this feeling like the Pacers are in control, because that was a pretty – I don't want to say dominant. That was an impressive performance, though. They didn't sneak that one over the line. They were up big. The Cavs came back in the way you thought they would, but then the Pacers closed that out really well. If they can win one of these next two, I think they got a chance.
Wow, Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, joining us. Romeo Langford, we obviously have 2 weeks from today until we officially find out where he's going to go, where he's going to announce for his college decision. I don't know if this piece was out. You can correct me or tell me when it came out, but I sure spent some time talking about it on the radio on this program. The piece that you did as a beat writer for Indiana with a beat writer from Vanderbilt, beat writer from Kansas, with all the regurgitation of information about Romeo's recruiting, that was one of the best pieces that I've read in a while that really gives fans some insight into what people that follow this very closely, a lot more than most of us, think that he might go. Were you surprised that not only yourself – obviously, we had talked some about where you thought he may go, but were you surprised that the others, the Vanderbilt and Kansas guy, and you all had Indiana as projected or ranked as his number one choice between the three of you?
A little bit. And, admittedly, I don't – first of all, I got to give Adam Sparks, my counterpart covering Vanderbilt for the Tennessee, and I got to give him credit because he was the one who organized all that. I don't know if any of us made those predictions with 100% conviction. I know I certainly didn't. But it was interesting that everybody you know, there's been a line attached to this recruitment for, and you know this probably even better than me, for the last 6-7 months. At one point it's been, it's done, it's IU. At another point it's been, it's locked in, he's going to Vanderbilt. At another point it's been, you know, Bill Self always gets his man at Kansas. And it seems like it just kind of shifts with the winds. It shifts with where he visited last. It shifts with, you know, what recruits he's hanging out with at all-star events or whatever. But to just when we all did maybe kind of zoom out a little bit, maybe take that 5,000-foot look at what it felt like we were all seeing from our different perspectives, it was interesting to see everybody kind of put, not just Indiana 1, but I think we all have the same list, Indiana, Vanderbilt, Kansas 1, 2, 3. And obviously what's going on with Kansas now has probably thrown a little bit of a late wrench into things one way or the other. But, you know, I'm not ready to say with 100% certainty that I believe that's what's going to happen. But if you made me pick today, and this is kind of what I said in that piece, I said, if you made me rank these schools today, I think Indiana's at the top of the list. And if you buy into the 24/7 sports crystal balls and things like that, I think that's been trending toward IU. And again, look, I don't think anybody knows anything for certain. And I think it's a credit to Romeo and his family, the way that they have protected the information around this and really kind of kept their own counsel in a lot of respects. But it's the best I could do. And so it's what I put down on paper.
Zach, I mean, you've been around IU basketball on the media side of things one way or other for a number of seasons, a number of years. I mean, can you put into words, you know who all covers this team. You know at every IU game, the road games, you know how many media people are there following IU. You also know how many people even track the summer stuff, the Nike EYBL, when it happens, no matter what part of the country it is, IU has a lot of people there covering its recruits and its recruiting scene in general. What's the scene going to be like from a media perspective on Monday, April 30th? I mean, I think I predicted over 100 media people after Kyle Neddenrip told me that there were 75 or something at the Cody Zeller announcement. And I think this has been covered, obviously, even more thoroughly and by a lot more people than maybe that was. But what will the media scene be like in your projection that night at New Albany High School?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be, you know, at or near that much. And I think, you know, the Zeller recruitment/commitment is probably the most analogous thing that I've seen on this beat, you know, in terms of status and ranking and things like that. I think Cody Zeller and Eric Gordon are the two that really compare to Romeo Langford. But the thing is, like with Eric Gordon, number one, it happened in 2007, and I don't think you'd really seen the explosion of recruiting coverage. I think that was still probably 2, 3, 4 years away. And number two, it all kind of happened sort of quickly. Like he was committed to Illinois, then he visited Indiana, then he decommitted, then he committed, then he signed. And it all just kind of happened within the space of, if my memory serves, good Lord, it's been a long time now, but if my memory still serves me well enough, it all happened in the space of just a month or two. Zeller was one that was more, you know, he was drawn out. He took his three officials. He went through the whole process. He signed when the window opened. And I think it's probably going to be something similar to that, maybe even a little bit more, because you're kind of tying in multiple media markets, if that makes sense. Like, you know, obviously Indianapolis, Bloomington, if you want to group those together. Then there's the Louisville connection, and it's not the Louisville connection just because IU has some interest, and Vanderbilt probably has some interest around Louisville, but because he's a Louisville area star and has grown up in that area. Will the Tennessean come up? I don't know. But I mean, I think it's going to be on par with, maybe even ahead of the Zeller commitment, just in terms of the intensity of interest and kind of how everything plays out.
Zach Ostrom, an Indianapolis Star, joining us here on a Monday edition of the program. I want to switch gears a little bit for the last couple of questions. Spring game over the weekend. It's nothing like spring outside, but nonetheless, still preparing for college football with spring games across the area here over the last week or so for a lot of teams. Maybe highlights, things that left you with a positive thought about this IU football team as they prepare for next season?
I think a couple. Number one, I think the offensive line looked really good. And, you know, the quarterback position is not going to be settled until Brandon Dawkins, who's a grad transfer and committed to Indiana last week, gets on campus and kind of gets in the mix. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if Dawkins winds up being the starter, but I think he's going to have to work to earn it because Michael Penix and Peyton Ramsey have both had, Ramsey's had, you know, 2 years now, and Penix is going to have had an early enrollee spring practice plus the summer, plus the fall. But I thought the offensive line looked really good, and I thought you could tell that was a, that was an up and down position for Indiana last season. And I think it played out that way just in terms of the inability sometimes to protect the quarterback, certainly the inability sometimes to establish a really solid run game. But it looked like a unit that returns everybody, and they do. They bring back, I think it's 14 players from last season. They didn't graduate a single offensive lineman in Indiana, and it looked like it, I thought, in the spring game, even if, again, quarterback play was a little up and down, you were missing a lot of receivers, your top two running backs from last year were sitting out through injury. I thought that was a big positive because that's a really solid sort of place to start building that offense in year two under Tom Allen. And then defensively, and I wrote about Marcelino Ball, but I thought you saw some really good plays from both the guys that you'd expect, like the Marcelino Balls and the Andre Browns and some of these guys who've been, you know, significant younger players in the last couple of years, but then also some guys that are maybe newer names like Raekwon Jones at linebacker. And Indiana's got a lot to replace on defense. I mean, an awful lot to replace. They lose eight seniors. They lose a ton of playmakers there, Tigre Scales, Rashard Fant, Chris Covington, guys like that. And, you know, kind of the point that I made in writing about Marcelino Ball, but I think it could be extended to others, is that you don't just replace a Tigre Scales, for example, with another All-American linebacker. There aren't a lot of places that have the depth in the program, the depth of talent to just say, okay, there goes one All-American, here comes another one. What you do at a place like Indiana is you find a solid backup who steps into those shoes, but it's a player at another position maybe who really steps up and starts sort of leading the defense by example and by performance, not just with his words. And I think that's going to be something Marcelino Ball is going to have to do. I think he's ready for it. And I'm fascinated to see if his role grows or his, you know, almost through his responsibilities and what he's allowed to do at that Husky position continue to grow, because I think he could be a really good player for Indiana next fall.
Good stuff from Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star. Final thing, IU baseball, I saw now ranked number 8 in the country in D1 baseball. I think I saw their score was like 22-1 over Northwestern over the weekend. So they're playing some great baseball at this part of the season, and that's going to be a storyline that I think it doesn't always get, at least down this way. IU baseball doesn't always get a ton of attention, but the last couple of years it feels to be building, and if they continue to play the way they're playing and become a nationally ranked a team later into the season, definitely going to catch some headlines, I think, on a more regular basis, but they're playing well right now.
Yeah, I mean, they went 4-0 last week, and it was four games that you'd expect them to win. I believe they beat Indiana State midweek, which actually is not a bad win. I mean, and when I say bad win, believe me, if you play Northern baseball, there are bad wins. I've seen Indiana sweep weekend series and lose ground at the RPI. But I think I'm looking at Warren Nolan's numbers right now. Indiana State's 70th in the country in RPI, so that's a solid win. And I think they sweep the season series with Indiana State on that one. Northwestern is 181 in the RPI and only 7-20. So that's not going to do a ton for you. But I think Indiana won that series. It was like 14-1, 6-3, and then 22-1. So, I mean, that is a dominant weekend performance. And you're not talking about a team that's, I think, 26-6 overall. They're a top 25, 30-ish RPI team. They've got a really tough May coming. That's kind of, I forget who they played this weekend. They're on the road. I want to say maybe Ohio State. And then Illinois, but they get Minnesota, who's now ranked, in May. They get, I believe, Nebraska in May. And they play both Louisville and Kentucky midweek in May. So they are right now on track to at least host a regional, I would say. And if they continue playing like this, because they did all that this weekend without Luke Miller, who might be their best player. He's been nursing, I want to say, like a foot or an ankle injury. And they did all that without Miller in the lineup at all. If they continue in this trajectory, they could genuinely be in the conversation for a national seed, particularly if they close the regular season out strong with some of those tough weekend series combined with big-time midweek matchups they've got coming.
Wow, Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, with us every Monday here on the Hoosier Report, talking IU basketball, football, and more. Zach, always great to catch up. I know we'll talk with you next Monday, and then I hope to see you in a couple weeks. I'm sure you'll be making your way to New Albany for the big announcement.
You know, I think I'll clear my schedule for it. I have so much going on in late April that who can say what will be going on. But if I can shake loose, I'll be down there.
All right. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, always with us Mondays. Thank you, Zach.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me, as always.
Speaking of some basketball stuff, I saw just before the show went on today that the Kentucky All-Stars, we talk a lot about the Indiana-Kentucky game. Of course, Romeo will play in that. Sean East of New Albany will play. Jim Shannon of New Albany, the coach of the boys' team. But I just saw that Kentucky announced their All-Stars. On the boys' side, not a lot of Louisville area participants. You've got Markello Sullivan. He's over at Fairdale, a nice player. And Pierce Kiesler of St. X. He attends St. X, but I believe lives in Floyd's Knob, so a little Indiana connection there. But most of the players on the team, on the 12-member roster from out in the state of out in the state of Kentucky, and on the girls' side, there is an IU connection, Grace Berger of Sacred Heart in Louisville. She is committed and signed with Terry Morin's women's basketball program at Indiana. She will participate on the girls' side of the Indiana-Kentucky game this summer. So there's an IU women's basketball connection coming off of a great season that culminated with a women's NIT national championship won in Bloomington a few weeks ago. So big stuff for them. Also, another note to pass along, Josh Rogers of New Albany, New Albany alumni. Need to have him on the program soon, but I should mention that he started his season, his minor league baseball season, with a promotion to Scranton in AAA. So he's playing for the Rail Riders, obviously the AAA affiliate of the New York Yankees. So he's one step closer to Major League Baseball, and there was a really good story out about Josh over the weekend. Been looking at his numbers. He is off to a really good start in AAA. We'll be curious to follow him this season. Of course, a lot of it could have to do with injuries at the level above him in the major leagues, but will he get that breakthrough and the opportunity to play in this season with the New York Yankees? But he's sure getting closer, and looks like all the reports out about him on some of the prospect sites continue to have some high marks. So really good. You know, I was talking with Zach about IU baseball. We know what Louisville baseball has been like the last couple seasons. We sure know what high school baseball in the area has been like. And, of course, Drew Ellis, his dad, Derek, was with us last week to talk Jeffersonville baseball and give us an update on Drew, who is playing in the Diamondbacks organization and is one of their hot prospects. Josh Rogers in the New York Yankees organization. Really some interesting baseball storylines that originate right here out of southern Indiana. So we'll follow all of this spring and summer a little bit more closely. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member, will join us. A whole bunch of stuff we're going to talk about, so stay with us for that. Coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
We're back, and on Mondays we get the opportunity to bring on Chad Gilbert, the Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member, and a supporter of all things Southern Indiana. Chad, I want to start with this. You and I are basketball guys. We talk a couple times a week about basketball. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the summer or the middle of the season. We're interested in all levels of basketball, and obviously very, I think, supportive of teams in the area, whether it's where we went to school or where we played at or didn't play at. Just want to see folks do very well in the area. So let me ask you this. As a guy that loves the game the way you do, you played the game at a high level. I sure didn't. But as a guy that loves and played the game the way you did, can you get into the NBA after being so enthralled in high school basketball and the fans and how hard the kids play and college basketball and the March Madness? Can you get into the NBA playoffs?
Well, if you look at the weather outside right now, Matt, it's like basketball season. It's rain, or it's snowing out there. We've got a softball game tonight, a baseball game. It's nuts. It's basketball weather outside right now. But, no, to answer your question, you know, you get so much excitement about high school basketball, and once it ends, it rolls right into March Madness, which is, there's not a better 3 weeks in the year than March Madness. But starting up, you know, a week after that is the NBA playoffs. And, Matt, I'm going to tell you what, man, there are some great games going on right now in the NBA. Saturday and Sunday, four great games. These guys are fighting for their life. You know, they're trying to get an advance. And in the NBA, the best team always wins. It's not just a Cinderella upset, one and done. You play the best of seven, in some case, you know, in most cases, best of seven. And then whoever advances, that's who comes out. So the best team usually wins on that one. But it's 40 games in 40 days. And what you can see, you know, as a coach, you can get some great, great sets. You know, they run a lot of isolations, a lot of pick and roll stuff on the side to get their best players the ball in scoring position. So it's a good time for coaches to get better just by having a pen and notepad beside you in the easy chair watching the game. So, you know, the game's changed a lot. The NBA has, you know, in the mid-90s, I watched LeBron and Lance going at it yesterday. You know, LeBron gets hit in the head. In the mid-90s, that was a New York Knicks hard foul. And the Detroit Pistons bad boys, that's how they did it every trip down the court. And so now the game has changed where there's a lot more flow to the game, a lot more higher scoring games where the ball's spread out and a lot of shooting threes. So it's a lot different to watch, but I think it's a lot of fun to watch too. And anytime, you know, guys are out there playing with something on the line where it really matters, I think it's a whole lot of fun to watch.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert joining us. You know, this area has always been so into basketball. I'm amazed that I get it during the high school, during the college season when Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky are all playing. We know that the fan base is really split in Southern Indiana among those three schools. I guess you've got Purdue fans as well. But I've really been amazed that there's not more interest or talk about the NBA once the playoffs get here, because there's really not that many other options or any other options for basketball at this time of year. For an area that loves basketball the way it does, I've never felt the love here for the Pacers or for the NBA in general that you might expect from an area that otherwise is just absolutely diehard when it comes to the round ball.
Well, the Pacers are picking up some steam. You know, they got Victor Oladipo there, the IU player who's really bringing it this season. My goodness, what a steal they got from Oklahoma City on Victor. But that's going to create a lot of excitement. And plus, they're playing the best player in the league in LeBron. And, you know, they've got a chance to eliminate them. They've stole one at home. And the Pacers are playing great basketball. So I think you'll get some excitement around that one. One thing in Southern Indiana that I think kind of hurts the playoffs a little bit is Derby time. You know, Derby's a big deal down here, you know, all the way through. And I think that kind of takes a little bit off the NBA playoffs. But it's something that, because Derby's, you know, it's a two-week run. It's just not that first Saturday in May. It's a two-week run of Derby festivities, which is an awesome thing to be around. But I think that kind of takes the shine off the NBA a little bit, with the Pacers just being the closest one an hour and a half away. But I look to see more interest generated in that, with, like I said, with Victor Oladipo and the Pacers playing their best basketball of the season.
Chad Gilbert with me. Chad is with me Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. Someone wanted me to ask you, as your new role on the IHSA board, about instant replay in high school football. This is more of kind of a joke, but it's not that much of a joke, because Alabama, I saw this maybe the past week or so, their board of athletic association administrators approved the use of replay starting with the upcoming season. Is that ever discussed? Has that ever been brought to you, brought to the executive board, something that you think the IHSA could be looking at in the future?
You know, you never say never, but to me, the instant replay has killed a lot of the college game, killed a lot. It just kills the flow of the game. And most times, the officials are pretty daggone good. You know, I know people like to get on officials. Officials are pretty daggone good, and they don't miss many calls. And I think, you know, it kind of ruins the flow of the game a little bit once you get in the instant replay. So that's something, you know, I think would be a detractor from the high school game, not to mention the cost of it. It's kind of like shot clocks.
Yeah, I don't even know how
shot clock
possible.
In high school. I think it's just one more expense that you'd have to take on as an athletic department. I think that would be hard to accomplish.
I know they take their football serious, a lot more serious than what we do here in Indiana, much like our basketball. But that would be, I don't even know, with just, you know, high school games, most teams videotape their games to scout and trade film and those sort of things. But I don't even know how you would have, unless it was a televised game, how you would even have an official high-quality replay where you could, you know, quickly rewind and maybe take a look at different angles. It just doesn't seem real feasible. But there have been some legitimate discussion that I know your board has been involved in with rule changes. And there was a great story with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star, who's with us every Friday talking with IHSA Commissioner Bobby Cox. It came out late last week at IndyStar.com. But some interesting things on the docket that could really have an effect on high school basketball and really other sports as well.
Oh, that's a great article. And, you know, if you read that, Bobby Cox is a smart guy. I mean, really, really smart, much, much smarter than I am. And he thinks things through, very well spoken, and he understands what he's doing is trying to be what's best for the student athlete. So, you know, to read that article and see his insight from there, that's pretty much on point on how he operates. And he is always has the student athletes' best interest in mind when it comes to this. But how a proposal works for the IHSA, Matt, is Matt Dennison just can't make a proposal. You know, if you've got an idea about what happens, you've got to go, like, to your athletic director, to your principal, and that principal write the proposal. Then as the next coming weeks, the IHSA commissioners will be going around the state, and there's region meetings that they'll be going to, and they'll get straw polls going on how these proposals work. Then the proposals will come back into the 19-member board, and they will vote on those proposals. So there's several interesting ones on the plate. There's a couple where they're trying to get it where you can work all out 2 days a week with your team, which is something, you know, coming down there that it eliminates working with two players at one time. You'll be able to just have an all-out go at it 2 days a week, and then, you know, conditioning the other days. There's several different things coming down there. Volleyball's cut a couple of games. They've added some minutes to their warm-ups and added some scoring in their sets. So there's different things that are coming to be voted on, and it's something that, again, it's going to be taken seriously with the thoughts of the athletes first.
I mean, that could be game-changing to have 2 days a week in the off season, or at least a great portion of the off season, where really it's no holds barred. You can have full-on instruction with not just individual-type scenarios, but your full team. I mean, it's allowed at a certain period of the summer. I mean, teams play in June, practice in June. You can do stuff at a certain point in July as well. But my goodness, to have 2 days a week of true practice, I guess you could call it, in the spring would be a complete change to past thinking by the IHSA.
It is, but, you know, you got to take in the fact of the matter that some of your players will be playing baseball or running track, or in the fall when you're trying to do it, they're playing football or tennis. So there's different things involved in that there's no perfect solution. You know, to me, the summer, when I was first into it, I was single and nothing else to do. Rah-rah, let's get at it. You know, we play our 40 games and do whatever. Probably a little too much. You know, kids need times to be kids. Kids need time to go to the city pool and hang out, time to go to the ballpark, time to go to the movies. And, you know, when you get monopolizing these kids' time, I think that takes a lot away from them, a lot away from their family time, and a lot away from being a kid. You know, I'm not sure how much in the last, you know, 15 years, how long that rule went into effect. You know, maybe creeping up on 20 now. But if the play has gotten any better, if that makes any sense. You know, there's not a time, you know, you don't go to the Don Lane basketball camp anymore where you work on skills, the Mike Beitzel Hanover camp where you work on your skill work, the Indiana skill work camp. You know, everything's geared toward team camp now. So at team camp, you're playing games. You're not learning to do a rocker step, or you're not learning the proper way to throw a bounce pass. You're just playing. So I'm not sure it's made the quality of play any better, but it's gotten kids a lot of a game. It's got them a lot of experience. It's gotten coaches a chance to kind of figure out where their team is for the upcoming year. So you got to find the happy medium in there and kind of work what works best for you.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director, IHSA Executive Board Member. How is it being on the board? You know, when we first had you, brought you on a regular basis, you had just been elected into that position. I know that there's meetings throughout the year. Certain times are more busier than others, but what's the experience been like so far?
You know, it's eye-opening. It's something, you know, you think, when people think of the IHSA board, they just think of a bunch of guys, you know, wearing fancy suits, smoking cigars and drinking bourbon, you know, and they're making decisions. And that's not what the deal is at all. It's people who are educated on kids' matters, educated on sports. They're really trying to do what's best for kids. And I know that's a cliche, as you know, you want to do what's best for the kids, but they really put the student athletes first, and they want to make decisions that will put those kids in a position to be successful. And, you know, with every action, there's a reaction. You can't make everybody happy, but I really feel that with the board and the commissioners on there, that they always try to put kids first in any decisions they make.
Chad, you had to host New Albany the first game of the year this season at Charlestown Sports Arena, packed house. It kind of set the tone for the season would be like as far as crowds and Romeo Mania. You're going to help help Mr. Unruh get the signing organized. Can you imagine perhaps some people thinking it could be a full house for high school senior to make his college announcement? I mean, it's going to be madness.
Oh, it'll be great over there. Now, if I was doing it, I'd charge $5 a head in there to get them in. No, I'm just teasing on that. But what they will do on that is, how great is to celebrate that kid's accomplishments and everything that he's done for New Albany High School, for himself, for his family, for the community. So I think, hats off to him and his family for allowing people to be part of it. I hope there's 5,000 there to see this anticipated decision. This is something huge. And it's something, coming off the day before, he's going to be named Mr. Basketball. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So it's a time to celebrate that. It's a time to celebrate his accomplishments and to see him on that New Albany court one last time. That's going to be pretty special. So I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the New Albany fans. And, it's something that people just really need to cherish and remember, because Romeo Langford's a once-in-a-lifetime player.
I hope that when it's all said and done, I know he's – back from Portland and has had a heck of a run with three All-Star games in three different NBA cities. But when it's all said and done, after he goes to Mr. Basketball and receives that, we think, and comes back and makes his college decision, no matter where it is out of his final three, I hope that he gets some time to finish his senior year and enjoy himself with friends that he's went to school with for as much as 12 years in the New Albany system before he heads out to the All-Star games back in June once school's out, because right after that you essentially go straight from that to college in most scenarios. Wherever it is, he'll be reporting probably that Sunday or that Monday morning for sure to enter summer school and workouts and all that sort of thing. So if there's one wish I had for him, Chad, and you've experienced this as a guy that went on to play college basketball, just to get time to enjoy some of those festivities that surround your final year of high school, graduation and class day and so many other things and get-togethers and parties and those sort of things, that he can actually take all that in instead of worrying about what flight he's got to catch next or who interview he's got to do next or someone begging him to go to this school or that school.
Oh, no question. That's where I just hope that Romeo gets a chance to take a breath, because he's a 17 and 18-year-old kid. Now, is his life going to be like that? Always. He's going to have an 82-game schedule soon. So his life is going to be like that. But it's something, maybe the next couple of weeks he can take a breath, enjoy his family, enjoy his friends. And that gives people a chance to just tell him, hey, Romeo, thank you. We appreciate everything you've done for New Albany. We appreciate everything you've done for Southern Indiana. And allows him to kind of absorb that and see what he's done. Knowing somebody like Romeo, my guess would be he's going to be in the gym getting after it hard. He's going to be doing his push-ups. He's going to be doing his sit-ups. And he's going to be continuing to try to get better. But like you said, after the All-Star game, he's on campus, and it's go-to-work time. And Chad, from then on out, it's your job.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert, Charlestown AD, IHSA board member. Chad, it's always fun to catch up. And I know the weather is going to continue this week. It looks like to cause you some problems there at Charlestown. So hopefully you're able to get spring sports, and all ADs able to get spring sports going on a regular basis here very soon.
We hope so. Coach Hawkins had the PE class out there making snow angels just a second ago, so hopefully we can get those guys in and get them to launch. But I appreciate the run, Matt, and thanks for everything you do in Southern Indiana.
Absolutely. Chad Gilbert always with us Mondays. We talk all sorts of different subjects. And, Chad's a guy that played at Charlestown, went on to have a great college career, national champions in Division II at USI down in the Evansville area. Came back to coach the Jeff girls, won a state championship, had a lot of success with the Jeff boys, and now is back at Charlestown as the athletic director, making some good improvements there, getting some good work done. And somebody that, of course, across all of his experiences has always been around sports, but the thing that struck me with Chad years ago when we got to know each other is he really cares about the area. He really wants to see Southern Indiana shine, and I think that's commendable. And there's a lot of good people that we have in Southern Indiana that hold different positions or coaches at different schools that subscribe to that, which is another reason I think this area is special. Guys support each other. You don't always see that in Indianapolis or some of the other parts of the state. So Chad with us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. That's going to wrap things up for today. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, we do this every day. 11 a.m. is the live show. You can often catch the replay at 3 o'clock unless there's baseball, U of L Reds, something else going on. And you can always find the podcast available at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can search on Apple Podcasts, type in the Hoosier Report, and it will come up there as well. We had some issues the last couple days of the week getting the podcast uploaded. I had a bundle of tweets and text and messages, which lets me know that a lot of you guys do take it in on podcast if you can't listen live. So I really appreciate that. We think we've got it figured out. We were able to get Friday's show up, and we'll have this one up for you in a little bit later this afternoon as well. But thanks for being with us. Final reminder about the Big X Sports Radio golf card. Don't forget, you can play golf for under $20 a round at a lot of great area courses: Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, Christmas Lake, and Santa Claus, Indiana, on the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. A lot of these courses are private. You can only play if you're a member or if you've got the Big X Sports Radio golf card. There's a limited supply, so get yours today at BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457. A couple baseball notes before we get out. New Albany baseball, a big win Friday at Jasper. Chase Rudy, the winning pitcher in that game. New Albany and Jeffersonville will play at New Albany on Wednesday night. Of course, that's weather bearing right now with what's going on outside. Wednesday night at Mount Tabor Field in New Albany. And a couple people have asked me, are we going to do the game Wednesday? We can't do the New Albany-Jeff game if it's played Wednesday because of the Pacers and Cavs game. We've got to obviously give first look to that. So, but we'll have some other high school baseball rivalry games coming up here over the next couple weeks. Thanks for being with us. I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Greg Doyle, Mike Pegram, and more right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.